show.
KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at KBOO.FM. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Coming this Monday, March 23rd at 2 p.m. on the Monday Sampler.
Space Patrol!
In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy are on the third moon of Jupiter in their spacesuit, attempting to pull Major Robertson out of a crevice into which he has fallen.
Hope they're off under the Major's arms, Happy. Just a minute, sir.
Where thousands of beetle-like insects are swarming.
Commander, they're eating through our spacesuits. These insects puncture our suits for pity.
So tune in this Monday, 2 p.m. on the Monday Sampler as we present Space Patrol as they fight the plastic-eating beetles of Jupiter's third moon.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is Veteran's Voice.
Drums of war are beating, I hear them once again. The words the same as always, we're fighting to defend. I became a medic in the reserve corps until my conscience asked, what are we fighting for? Searching for a villain, a country to invade, a resource we wanted, the plans for war were made. 14 Marines stationed at Lejeune proclaimed their CO status and abandoned their platoon. Tim shows. I'm with a badge CEO. And I'm out across the ocean. The bombing soon began. A half a million U.S. troops in a desert land. Yolanda refused to report. She declared, I won't go. They placed her under house arrest. She served 2 years, CO. Patriots hold their parades. Treaties broken and betrayed. Their blind allegiance shows. I wear the badge CEO. I wear the badge CEO.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM in Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty's being my engineer again today. Thank you, Ty. I want to say hello to my good friend and Army buddy, Gary, and his wife, Darla, back in Nebraska. And hello to Kathy out in Aloha, and Mitty and her grandchildren. And also to my good buddy, Jim, in Gresham. There's a lot to talk about today. But I was looking as I came in station today, I saw this little card, postcard, and it said, "We the people oppose unchecked federal police power. No troops in cities without state approval. No ICE raids without judicial warrant. Due process for all, including non-citizens. The Constitution is clear. Article 6 and Amendments 4, 5, and 14. United States versus Nixon, 74. Cooper versus Aaron, 1958. Mayberry versus Madison, 1803. Where we go here? That's it. But I thought that was really, really interesting. And due process is so important. I've got it into talks with, I was talking, they were yelling, about due process, and people don't understand, or they just don't want to understand, is that anybody in this country, anybody with their feet on the ground in this country go by our laws, and they go by our Constitution, and they have every right, no matter if they're here legally or illegally, they have every right under the Constitution, and they are not getting it sometimes with Department of Homeland Security and ICE, and that's just wrong, because those people in ICE and Department of Homeland Security, they take an oath just like we did when we went into the military service, you know, defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when your own government's the, you know, enemy against our own Constitution, it's kind of our job, all of us, to stand up and say, wait a minute, these folks, these are our friends, these are our neighbors, these are our people. There are children. There are aunts or uncles. And they have every right to be here and to have our Constitution take care of them. I want to thank everybody who's been donating to our wonderful radio station, and I really appreciate it. And if you have the time or the inclination to support us some more, you can send a check to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. And I don't know how to do it the other ways, but you know, this is a wonderful radio station, and we've been on the air a long time, and we need to be on the air a lot more time. So I was going to print out everything I was going to talk about today, but my printer says no, you're not. So I'm having to do it a different way now, and boy, I'm going to get that right sometime with that computer. Maybe I'll get Tracy to come down and help me set it up, because she's done it before. But I don't know why I can't do it, you know? I just don't know why I cannot do it. But I'll get it done sooner or later. That song was by a band, R.J. Phillips Band, and I thought it was really, really good. And we'll play another song at about 9:30 by the same band. And it's really, really interesting. One of the songs is about, it's called Deep Water is one of them, and the other one is Sir No Sir. But the one, Deep Water, is about some folks taking over a ammunition ship that was going to Vietnam, taking napalm and other tools of war. And it talks about how they did it, how they took over the ship and kept it from going to Vietnam. It's really pretty interesting. I don't know if you folks saw or not on the news, but there was a Marine Corps veteran, and his name was Brian McGinnis, and he was in his uniform. He's a veteran. He was in his uniform at a Senate hearing, and he stood up and he said, "No one wants to fight for Israel. No one wants to die for Israel." And he was attacked by the, I don't know, the Capitol Police or whatever they're called, and they were wrestling around with him, and he got his arm stuck in a door. And as that was happening, this senator named Tim Sheehy, who's a veteran, I believe, I think, yeah, he's a veteran, ran down to help him get this guy out of there. And if you watch the video, you can hear his arm break because he got it stuck in this door. And as they're yanking him, they broke this guy's arm. And I thought it was really interesting that, you know, he stood up in his uniform and said, "No one wants to die for Israel. No one wants to, die for Israel in a war," because that's, you know, that's what's going to happen. Well, it's already happened. And I thought he was really a brave guy. But also, in the Capitol, there's always Code Pink. And Code Pink is always there, you know, talking to senators and congresspeople, and you know, about anti-war war and what's going on. Medea Benjamin is the spokesperson for Code Pink, and they're a wonderful group. Wonderful group. And anybody can join them, but they're brave people to do that. Brave people. I have my second court date, because I was arrested down in front of the ICE building down in Southeast. Me and another, I think two other people were arrested that day down there too. I know Jamie was one of them. I don't remember who the other one was. And but my first court date, I went the I pleaded not guilty, of course, and they said, the judge says, do you have an attorney? I says, I'm going to get my own attorney. And so they said another, I go back again on this month on the 26th. But what I think was really interesting is I was standing there before this all started, and they read my name off, and I went up there, and there's an attorney there, but she didn't really know really much about what was going on. But the district attorney guy was there, and I thought it was really interesting on what he said. He said, here's another one of them, meaning us folks that are resisting ICE's illegal, unjust, and unwarranted attack on our sisters and brothers. Here's another one. So I thought, wow, that's really, you know, another one. And the judge told me if I couldn't get an attorney that they would find one for me. They have 6 weeks to get you an attorney, if they're getting you an attorney. And if they don't give you an attorney within the 6 weeks, they have to drop your case. And Jamie, the other guy that was arrested on the same day I was, he went back. He told them that he needed a public defender. And I think it was like 5 weeks. He had 1 week to go, and then they found him an attorney. And I thought, well, that seems about right. That seems about right, you know. But I have an attorney, and like I'll find out on the 26th, they'll probably ask if they'll either want me to plead to a lesser something or other, and I'm not gonna plead to anything, you know, not guilty. That's what I want to go, you know, is not guilty. Because morally they are wrong and we are right. And so that's on the 26th. And on the 26th, I'll know when my court date, my court date is. And I'll let people know in case they want to come and be supportive of me on that date. So I'll let you know when for sure. Like I said, I'm not going to plead guilty to anything. I was reading. A lot of veterans are really starting to the judge said I couldn't be within a block of the ICE building. You know. But he says, you have your right to protest, and, you know, your First Amendment right. And the attorney, the PD, public defender lady that was there, I wish she would have stood up to this judge no more, but she didn't. And he says, well, you have your First Amendment right and all this stuff, you know, which I want to be right there at that front of that driveway, their blue line that says you can't cross that blue line. But I have to be away from that. That's where I want to be. But, you know, time will tell. Some of my friends and people that I talk to, you know, what's good is it doing, everybody down there and people getting arrested and everything? And I said, it means a lot. You know, for one thing, they can no longer just shoot at us with their pepper balls, shoot us in the face, shoot us in the groin areas or whatever. They can't do that anymore. And they can't throw their tear gas right at us anymore, which they were doing on both with the pepper balls and the tear gas canisters. They were throwing them right at us. They can't do that anymore. So that's two things that are really good. You know, we're getting some things done. Just gonna, you know, take time. Well, you know, they were supposed to be doing that in the first place, you know, shooting us in the upper bodies. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos. Is when we did the sit-in on Martin Luther King's birthday, we did a sit-in, and when they came out, I mean, this is a nonviolent, it was nonviolent. We were just sitting there on the driveway. And they came out, and they were spraying people right in the face with the tear gas and stuff, right in their faces. And they were also shooting us with their pepper balls. And when they had the trial, the judge said, you know, that they were attacking nonviolent people. And they couldn't do that. They would just walk right up and just spray you right in the face, or they would shoot you with that pepper ball. But they can't do that. That's one of the things. And another thing they need to do is take the mask off those people. Right now, down there, the ones that was mostly wearing the mask were the folks in the camouflaged dress, or whatever you want to call them. They all had masks on and everything. And I think that's going to be done away with. Wearing a mask down there, that's just... They know us. They know every one of us down there. They could call us by our names. If, you know, they know us. They were taking our pictures. They were going on the internet looking up who we were. You know, I think they're cowards hiding behind their mask. They're the ones with the guns, and they're the ones with the tear gas and everything. What do we got? We got signs and our bodies that we put on the line. They have, you know, they're cowards. Cowards, big time cowards. And I've been 1, 2, 3. I think 3 times I've been abused by them. Like I was saying, I've met lots of veterans down there too. Kelly, she's really, really good. This Kelly, a veteran, she's really, really good. And I've met so many veterans down there that are standing up and making a stance. I think he comes on Saturdays and Sundays, and he has a revolutionary radio, and he plays all this great music, and you can, you know, ask him to play music, he'll play music, and then, you know, people stand up and they talk and everything. And he's a veteran, he's a Marine Corps veteran. He was also attacked by Homeland Security or ice. I don't know which. Probably I don't know which one got him. But they came around and what he was right standing right by the driveway, on the far side of the blue line, and they came around behind him and just knocked him to the ground. And he has a lawsuit against them, which he'll win. But the whole thing, they want him to make it, you know, go violent against us so that we'll just cower in our, you know, no, we don't want to get hurt and everything, but that's not working. People are standing up. I know a lot of people down there that stands up. But the veterans are really coming out, and I have so much respect for the veterans, and I also have respect for everybody else down there. You know, I've met some really great people down there. And so I was reading in this article, a U.S. veteran, a U.S. military veteran arrested on federal conspiracy charges after participating in a June 25 protest against U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, told The Guardian. He refuses to plead guilty and is ready to face justice. The right to protest is supposed to be a fundamentally American. His name is Bejun Mavawala, who walked foot patrols as U.S. Army Sergeant in the Horn of Panjua, the birthplace of the Taliban, and one of the most dangerous parts of Afghanistan and Kandahar Province. It's among the rights that that when I joined the military, I thought I was joining to protect. You can't do it violently. You can't do it in any way that harms other people, but you have the right to stand up for what you believe in. He's 36 years old. He faces 6 years in prison, 3 years supervised release, and a $250,000 fine for conspiring to impede or injure a federal officer when he joined the other demonstrators who sought to block the transport of two Venezuelan immigrants who were arrested by ICE at a routine immigration hearing in Spokane, Washington, in June of 2005. He pleaded not guilty. So they're trying to make it so hard and so expensive to fight back, but that's what we're going to do. We're not going to just sit back and just let them get away with this. We're going to fight back. I'm having to go back and forth on my computer because I was going to print all this out so I could just read it, you know. But now I have to go back and forth on my computer from page to page that I want to talk about. I will figure that computer out, that printer out, I'm telling you. There's no way I want to let that computer beat me. Okay, come on. Here we go. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This one is really, really something that really bothers me. It's bothered me since 1968. And on 16th of March, 1968, a United States war crime was committed on 16 March 1968 involving the mass murder of unarmed civilians in San Mai Village, Quang Nai Province, South Vietnam. At least 347 and up to 540 civilians, almost all women, children, and elderly men, were murdered by the U.S. Army soldiers. Some of the women were gang raped and their bodies mutilated, and some soldiers mutilated and raped children as young as 12. The incident is the largest confirmed massacre of civilians by U.S. forces in the 20th century. And what I'm talking about is My Lai. I've been to My Lai twice. The first time I went there was in 1994 with Rico and Mike and Jerry. We went to My Lai. Because I think all three of us were in all four of us were in Vietnam in 1968. But, you know, we wanted to see it. We wanted to go there and give flowers, lay flowers. And on My Lai, 26 soldiers were charged with criminal offenses, but only Lieutenant William Cowley Jr., the leader of the 1st Platoon in C Company, was convicted. He was found guilty of murdering 22 villagers and originally given a life sentence, but served 3.5 years under house arrest. After his sentence was commuted, the perpetrating unit were from C Company, 1st Battalion, 20th Infantry Regiment, 11th Brigade, and B Company, 4th Battalion, 3rd Infantry Regiment, 11th Brigade of the 23rd Americal Division. I was listening on the 16th of March of this year, I was listening to a guy who was there after My Lai, the murder of 504 people at My Lai. And he was talking about walking through that area and the hate that was on the faces of people in that area. It's on my area, just the hate on their faces when Americans came would come through that area. He said kids as young as 6 had that look of hate in their eyes for the Americans because they were told what happened by their family members. And it's a research, and research has highlighted that the My Lai massacre was not an isolated war crime. Nick Turse places it within a larger pattern of American atrocities enabled by deliberate policies from commanders, such as free fire zones and body counts, as well as widespread racism among American military personnel. American Friends Service Committee was there in that area. I've talked to 3 people that were in that area at the time that happened. 3 Americans. Lady Borton was there. She's the first one that the Vietnamese people came to and wanted to tell her what happened. And she was also the person who took the folks that were going through and finding out about what happened at My Lai, the senators or congresspeople or whoever. She was the one that they talked to about it. And she's a good friend of mine. She was a really good friend of my late wife also. The other two were a man and a wife from Northern California who were there also. And I talked to them on this show many years ago about My Lai and what they saw. The aftermath of My Lai, the murdering of the 504 innocent people at My Lai. And in their voices, you could still hear that pain that they were still feeling after all those years after My Lai. because it was such a brutal, brutal thing that happened there. Many other, we also Nick Turse, the writer who talks about the other atrocities. He wrote a book, Killing Anything That Moves, and I also interviewed him on our show, and he talked about all the other atrocities that went on in Vietnam, and he talked about in that area alone how many others slaughtering of innocent people had gone on in that area. Nick Turse, he's a really wonderful guy. And February and March of 1968, the military assistant command, MACV, was aggressively trying to regain strategic initiative in South Vietnam after the Tet Offensive, because the Tet Offensive started in the end of January of 1968, and Tet is the Lunar New Year, where the whole country celebrates the Lunar New Year, and usually they had a peace during that time where nobody would do anything. But the Vietnamese attacked every major province in South Vietnam, just about every city in South Vietnam, and that really changed the American public's look on the war in Vietnam, because all these people from Secretary of Defense McNamara to General Westmoreland, who was in charge of MACV, were saying, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, we're winning all this stuff, the war shouldn't be going on much longer, and all of this, and here the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese soldiers just came down and did the whole deal on the South. And so that made the American people say, wait a minute, they're lying to us. Of course they're lying to us. They're lying to us right now with what's going on in the Middle East. They're lying to us. In February of 68, they had already tried to secure Song Mai with limited success. After that, the village area began to be referred to as Pinkville. Task Force Baker Troops, by Baker Troops, the U.S. Army slang name for the hamlet and sub-hamlets in that area was Pinkville, due to the reddish pink color used by the military maps to denote a more densely populated area, and the carnage was initially referred to as the Pinkville Massacre. See, their whole intelligence of that area, they got wrong. You know, military intelligence just doesn't go together. It's just, I know when Mike and us guys went there in 1994, how it was very emotional for all of us. And I went there again later on, I don't know, a few years later, with Don Blackburn, a friend of mine. And he saw a picture on the wall, and they have this museum there, and they have the names of and the ages of all the people who were killed that day, the 504 people who were murdered that day. But they also have pictures on the wall showing some of the people. And one picture really got to Don. It was of a young woman, and she was standing, and she was on both both sides of her were South Vietnamese soldiers, and just the look on her face, the strength of her, her willpower of her, just got to Don, and he just cried. And we talked about that, you know. And it was very, very interesting on what Don felt that day, because he was there also in 1968. How he felt when he saw that, the picture of that young woman that was going to be tortured for sure. On the morning of the 16th of March at 7:30, around 100 soldiers from Charlie Company, led by Medina, Captain Medina, he was the company commander, and he was never charged with anything. Following a short artillery and helicopter gunship barrage, landed in a helicopter at Son Mai, a patchwork of individual homesteads, grouped settlements, rice paddies and irrigation ditches, dikes and dirt roads connecting an assortment of hamlets and sub-hamlets. If you go there and see how small that area was, that it didn't take them much to kill all those people. And just the stories that came out later by some of these soldiers that were involved in this slaughter is so horrible that the reasoning to take a part of it, they thought that they were getting legal orders what to do. And in the U.S. military code of UCMJ, the military justice, you don't kill civilians. But their commanders, some of them saying that the company commander said anybody in that village at that time of day are communists, are communist sympathizers. And that thought they gave them the right to attack and killed those innocent people. Do you have that second song up? Yeah. Okay, we're gonna go ahead so I can catch my breath here. He's gonna play another song so I can catch my breath.
As always, we're fighting to defend. I became a medic in the Reserve Corps until my conscience asked, what are we fighting for? Searching for a villain, a country to invade. Source we wanted, the plans for war were made. 14 Marines stationed at Lejeune proclaimed their CO status and abandoned their platoon. Patriots all dead. I'm with a badge CEO.
troops in a desert land. Yolanda refused to report. She declared, I won't go. They placed her under house arrest. She served 2 years CO. Patriots hold their parades. Treaties broken and betrayed. Their blind allegiance shows. I wear the badge CO. I wear the badge CO.
That's a song again. That song again is by R.J. Phillips Band, and I thought it was pretty thing we could talk about. I just want to talk about one more thing about My Lai. There was a helicopter pilot, Warrant Officer Hugh Thompson Jr., who saw what was going on, where these troops were running wild and killing and raping and torturing the innocent people. He put his helicopter down between them, the soldiers, and some troops, and told his crew to shoot any of them, the troops who continued to go and try to kill these people. Hugh Thompson died a few years back, but he was really a brave man who made that stand. And I have all respect for him for what he did that day. He did a wonderful thing. And something else that really, I was listening to this other soldier. Had been through their years later after My Lai, a couple of years later, I think, after My Lai. And he was saying that Lieutenant Callie, the only soldier who, remember I told you that he got convicted and he was, you know, let off by Richard Nixon. But he said that Callie got up in front of, I think it was, American Legion or Veterans of Foreign Wars, I can't remember which one, and he got up and he apologized for what he did at My Lai, and all the people in the audience got up and applauded him. I'm sorry. And applauded him. And that made me angry, because here they were applauding a man who killed and murdered and all these innocent people, and they're standing up and applauding him for apologizing for murdering these people. That just was so horrible. I want to talk a little bit. You know that the military budget is now $1.5 trillion. And so far it's cost us $11.3 billion attacking Iran. We attacked Iran. Not Iran attacked us, or Iran attacked Israel. Israel and the United States attacked Iran. That is a war crime, what they did by doing that. That's a war crime. And Donald Trump has no conscience whatsoever about attacking those people. You know, I saw an interview where they were talking about, you know, I feel really bad about the 13 or 16 Americans who have died from these attacks, rocket attacks. I feel sorry for them. But I also feel really sorry to the Iranians that have died from American and Israeli attacks on their country. This whole propaganda thing going, you know, American lives are more important than Iranians or Iraqis or whoever. American lives are more important. But they're not. They're, a human life is a human life. But when I saw that news coverage about that, that that's nothing more than propaganda. That's all that is. All this money, now they're asking, the DOD, Department of Defense, is asking for, how much was it, $200 billion more. $200 billion more. Because they were saying that all the missiles that they have, bombs that they have, and all this wasn't part of their budgeting to fight this illegal, unjust attack on Iran. They attacked Iran because Iran might attack Israel. Might attack the U.S. mainland. How are they going to attack the mainland? It's just talking. Lies get us in these wars. You know that from all the wars. I know it from all the wars, starting with Vietnam, which I was in. Also, I remember not much of it, but some of the Korean War, which my uncle got killed in. Lies get us into these wars. Lies. And the only people that are making money are the arms dealers. It's not the men and women on the ground. They're not making very much money. They're being killed for what? For what? For nothing. Supposed. Maybe. It could happen. Who knows? You know? Who knows? It just... We have to call them on this. We have to call our government on this, because they're not listening to us. They are not listening to what we're saying. A majority of Americans do not support what they're doing in the Middle East at all. They're just not supporting it. Who's telling Trump all this stuff? Because he's not smart enough to know this stuff. He's not smart enough. Someone's just leading him down the road, you know, by his nose. But his stupidity, his ignorance, is getting people killed. You know, coming up is the No Kings March is coming up really soon. I think the 28th, maybe, of March, 28th. I hope there's so many people out in the streets in this country again. They don't care. The government doesn't care. The Bush regime doesn't care. We kept saying, no, 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 no. And they're just going, we're going to do whatever we want anyway. I don't know if they're ignorant or stupid. Or both. But we as Portland, as Portlanders, as Oregonians, we can get out in the streets and we can show our what we feel about this war. We can call all our senators, all our congressmen. You know, I mean, people say it doesn't do any good, but at least we got to try. Jeff Merkley, our U.S. Senator, Jeff Merkley, you know, he cares. Jeff Merkley cares. And, you know, he and I come from the same town, Myrtle Creek, Oregon. But he cares. He cares. But we can't, we got to keep going. We got to stop them. We got to let them know that we're not liking this. Can you imagine what we could do with $1.5 trillion? We could send all of our children to university. We could have medical care for everybody. We could have housing for our homeless. We could have so much to with this treasure that we have. But from the top to the bottom, it's rotten. The system is rotten. We can no longer let them get away with this anymore. If the system is just not good anymore. I've only got a few minutes left, but again, I want to say I hope everybody gets out on No King's Day and we can show them how we care. We can let our friends back in Minneapolis, St. Paul, know that we're still standing with them against their fight against ICE. We can stand up against ICE here in Oregon. We can do that because we have a history of it. There's so much we can do. We just got to stick together, follow our plans, and not let anything get in our way. And we can do it. There's just no doubt in my mind. I also want to thank everybody for supporting KBOO. And like I said, if you feel up to it, you can, you know, send us a check at 20 KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214, and we can keep this station on the air and keep it going. Also, we have to remember we do have a constitution. They can write all these silly laws they want, but the constitution, nothing supersedes the Constitution of the United States. And due process is a big part of that. And our Hispanic and Latina sisters and brothers are not getting due process. We can stand up to that. We can fight back. We can do that. And all of my sisters and brothers, veterans down at the ICE, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, and I'll stand right there with you on this. We'll be back. on April 17th. Ty, you ready? Ty, you ready? We'll be back on April 17th at 9 a.m. And there it is. We're going to go out with another song. I don't care what the song is, but we can go out on it. That's okay, Ty. That's okay. Go ahead and, you know. That's okay, buddy.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
Tune up and tune in. It's the Bluegrass Marathon on KBOO, Saturday, March 21st, 9 a.m. to 5.